So hi there, my name is Adam Bean. I was actually grown up in the near of Katowice. It was called Zabrze. Who knows Zabrze, everyone? Who is from Zabrze? Oh man. Ah, okay, do we have to talk after this? So I understand a little bit Polish, but just a little bit, and I'm not able to speak about Java at least. Yesterday I learned Na zdrowie and Dzień dobry. And I translated Enterprise Java Beans, and I mean bean is fasola or something like this, right? Yes, in Germany it's so funny, the direct translation in Polish too, fasola, Enterprise fasola, yeah? So, about my person, I'm working with JDK, since JDK 1.0, and I'm a freelancer, this is good to know. So I'm Java champion, that means I'm totally independent from Sun. Someone asked me whether I'm working for Sun, nothing, I'm freelancer. Freelancer is something like one-man show. So no vacation, just work and just Java, something like this, yeah? And actually I didn't like some stuff in J2E. So I joined Java E6, EGP3.1 and JPA 2.0 expert groups and tried to change the world. And some means it worked, yeah, sometimes. I wrote some books, about 6 or 7, all in German, so it's worthless for you. The last as well. Pictures are great, you know, but the text is worthless, German. But the next one would be cool because it's in for US. So I think Polish is very hard to me to write Polish text, but US will be better. So why this talk? You see, I'm a little bit interactive. I'm doing consulting work with J2E, and what I noticed, at least in Germany and Europe, that always every architecture look like this. So it was accident with a whiteboard. I had no idea it is here, but it's perfect. So you got a database, and people obsessed about abstraction in Germany. So if you provide an architecture with only 2 layers, yeah, you get lost, you get fired as architect. So about 5 layers, it became good and expensive. So you have JDBC is obvious, right? Then you have Hibernate, which is probably obvious. Then you have JPA, yeah? And then fun starts, like, okay. Because JPA, you know, you are somehow tightly coupled to objects and, I don't know, to the relational databases. And could be in future LDAP, flat files, or something like this. So we have to provide, I don't know, DAO, no? Data Access Object. This is not enough. Hibernate objects are persistent. And we provide value objects right there to decouple. So it is a common pattern in Germany, you know? So then we have service layer here, which uses these objects. The problem is the client needs other objects, so you introduce client objects on this side, you know? And then we have composite service here, which composes different value objects to one composite object, which is transferred to client objects. So, and at the last 2 years in my consultant work, what I did, I just delete about 80% of layers. And everyone was happy. They said, cool, yeah, you have great knowledge, great experience. And what I actually did, I asked my customer what happened in the past in case that your, German customers, or I had this very short project in Katowice. It was a porting from Java Virtual Machine on Linux to real-time Linux. It was perfect experience, but it's only a very, very, very short project. So in German and European customers, or Switzerland, Austria, and so forth, what happens? They only see the UI. So every feature request is something like, I need a field here, one more field. What happens there? You have to extend client object, composite object, service object, DAO, database, and all the layers. So actually, abstraction became worthless, okay? So, and this is a little bit of my talk, just to be more pragmatic. And interesting enough, if you are pragmatic, you can be very, very productive with J2E or Java E6 or 5 even more. You are using J2E? Who use it? J2E 1.3? 1.4? Who uses Java E5? Hey, great. Yeah, cool. And Java E6? No, no? Java E6? It's not finished yet. You are from expert group? Okay. It's a very interactive cloud, yeah. EGP 3.1, so if you don't know this, it's just basically a POJO. And the funny story is in Germany, people don't like EGBs because they are heavyweight. Heavyweight doesn't, actually no one knows what it means. So heavyweight is something like too big or something like this. The truth is, actually you have to just to provide at stateless and local annotation. And in Glassfish, it is something like JBoss, but it's released yet. JBoss, we have to wait some quarters until it's released, but it will come eventually, perhaps in Java 7 days or something like this. In Glassfish, the whole EGB container is about 400 kilobytes, not megabytes, but kilobytes. You know WebSphere? There's a splash screen of WebSphere or something like this, it comes up, okay? So it is a very, very lean, of course it's not complete now, but it's very lean. And my observation was, actually, EGB3 are much better. Better, yeah, than EGB2O and even, I don't know, some mix from Spring Juice and everything like this. And even better, there is the only one vendor-neutral framework I know. So you can, for instance, we had some huge projects with a commercial server, and the commercial server was bought by another commercial company, and licensing changed. With Java 5, we are able to switch without effort from EGB from this commercial server to Glassfish or JBoss. You know, XML is dead, it's gone. All in the last 2 years, there was no XML in my projects, except very short persistent XML, so it is about, I don't know, 5 lines of code. So you can CRUD, you can provide even lean applications very, very fast. So you have one interface and one class that is. In EGB3.1, you can even, it's just a class is enough. So even the interface is not needed. So it's, you can do this, it's perhaps, you know, too simplistic, but you can do this. XML deployment descriptors are gone. So there is the expert group members in EGB3 stolen the idea from Ruby on Rails land and say, okay, there is no configuration required. If you need some configuration, provide that in annotations or afterwards with XML. And this is a great story. You can override with XML Java annotations, right? If you have some questions, just ask in Polish, German, or English. So Polish would be dangerous, but we can try it, you know? So questions so far? No questions. So performance overhead of session beans, about 3%. So I measured plain POJO with servlet and cascading to EGB3, and there was about 1 millisecond overhead. Invocation overhead is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And what do you also gain with EGB3 or EGB2 even is the monitoring data. So you know JSR 77, monitoring and management. If you deploy something on the server, you see what happens. How often certain methods are invoked and how often other methods are invoked. If you have an POJO framework on Tomcat, you see probably that the method post was invoked 1 million times and to get only 2 million times or 500,000 times, but you see nothing. Yeah? And even this is additional added value, but no developer cares. This is operation stuff, not development. And this is one of the problems with EGBs. Okay, so transactions. So you have not too much time, but I'm convinced that you always need transactions, even for reads. If you are reading without transactions, you see a snapshot of the database in worst case. So you will see, you know, on the stock market, all transactions will be probably roll back in the next moment. So you need transactions somehow. And what EGB3 do, or EGB2, is something like this. They associate with the transaction a thread and or resources. So what does it mean if I go to an EGB and this EGB started in a thread and I access the persistence several times in one transaction, I get the same reference back over and over again. If you do it with my own framework, I have about 50 copies of one object from the database. You know, there is a huge, huge benefit of transactional persistence over homegrown persistence because you are working with references, no values. Okay? Questions? No questions? We have no questions? Yeah. Yeah, local, of course. There is no remoting for POJOs. But what I did, a servlet, this is my weblog. There is, blog, adambee.com. This is, you can check it out, the projects. I did it more carefully because, you know, lobbyists, POJOS and so forth. But servlet with injection of an EGB, which was injected another EGBs and two method calls, they were chained. And the same story with POJOS, exactly the same code without annotations. So this was my test. So, you know, the overhead is nothing. No, right, but you know, I didn't would like to compare local with remote. This would be crazy. Sorry, it would be not appropriate, yeah. So, entity manager. It's managed by the EGB container, actually a huge benefit. So in my personal opinion, this is much easier to build web apps with EGB3 than without, because there is one article from Sun, how to build web applications without EGBs. You have to care. What you have to do is provide a filter, something like this. Care about the transaction is stored in the thread, in thread local. Then every free resources afterwards. So it is actually a huge framework what they are building. Or you have to install Spring, Google Jules, or something like this, and they do exactly the same story. And with EGB, you get everything for free. The problem is the name. We should change it. Don't add EGB3, but something like, I don't know, Agile Let's or something, yeah? Not Fasola, but something else, yeah? Yapko or those of us, yeah? So in EGB3, we get singletons. Not cluster-wide singletons, but singletons. They work already. So you have one annotation at singleton, and there is a singleton, one a server node. Not very exciting. What's really cool, you can kill all startup classes from WebLogic, for instance, or JMX from JBoss. You can misuse singletons to find, there's one annotation at singleton, and another one at startup. So the singletons can start in proper order on the application startup. It's pretty useful, actually. Async methods, even better. So you have a particular method of an EGB. You can mark this method as async. And this is will be executed in an asynchronous way. But you can also pass back, you know, future? Future? Yeah, I had a chat with someone from Poland and told me that they upgraded to JDK 1.4 now. You know, JDK 1.5 comes with concurrency and the future stuff, and JDK 1.6 have it already, and Java 5 or EGB3 relies on JDK 1.5. So future, Java util concurrent future, and async result is actually the wrapper. And what does it mean? You have something like a proxy, and you can cancel long-running transactions from there. There's a method called cancel. And why you need it, you can use it instead of JMS, for instance, Java Messaging Service, just for asynchronous execution. So embeddable, this line of code fires up the EGB container outside the container. So you can use in your unit test, in a setup, just provide this line, EGB container, create EGB container, get context, and you get initial context back, and you are able to look up EGB3. So it was not a big deal anymore in my EGB3 project because we built everything with new or with reflection. So we had three lines of code and setup to fire up EGB3. So test was never a problem. Questions? So deployable into war, this is somehow schizophrenic, so deployable into war. Because what you can do now, you can deploy EGBs into war without EGB jar. So you have only on war web archive and put your EGBs into it. And this is actually great with tools like Eclipse, or I use NetBeans and Eclipse, doesn't matter in my talk than NetBeans. What I can do, you can say something like deploy on safe, and it will hot deploy only these classes which change with the whole application. And this is actually, you know, frameworks like Wicket, for instance, a web framework. This is very good, well integrated. So you have, for instance, CRUD functionality is one class, and you can access this from all pages in Wicket. Even better with Java server faces. Yeah? So, and this was actually, my fault, global JNDI names. The problem, the last problem with EGB3 was the names were not standardized. So you deployed one EGB to JBoss, and the name was something like EGB jar class name / local remote. On Glassfish was a fully qualified name of the remote interface. On WebLogic was something totally crazy, something like bin name, dash, and something else. Yeah, this was the problem. And this was standardized, so-called global JNDI names. They start with Java, colon, global, / env. So this is I actually like it. And superb integration with Java Server Faces, of course, Wicket, my project right now, CMGWT or a GWT. It's a crazy idea, actually. This cross compiler from Java to JavaScript, but yes, it works somehow. You know GWT? Yeah, cool. Standalone rich clients, of course. There was one at Give Your Lightning talks. What I did in one project, I just started AGB container in Eclipse RCP. My problem was only I named it Fat Client Architecture and I was fired. I do the project again and named Rich Internet Application with hybrid components, and I got additional contract. So naming is very important in Germany. RESTful services, GSR 3.11. You know RESTful services? Who knows that? Who saw that? Okay, cool, two persons, I will show you this. And the web service SOAP, okay, is not very famous stuff. If you like XML and play around with XML, it's good to test your XML editor, but I try to avoid SOAP and use something like servlets, or we can sell it as like RESTful now. So RESTful for the beginners is nothing else than HTTP used right. So, and someone wrote a thesis about this. Just remember, get, post, put, delete, about four verbs, it's a thesis written. Okay, someone writes a thesis about SOA, so it's even less, but yeah, it's interesting enough. GSR 1.8.1, I will show you an sample as well. JMS, JC, Corbine, IOP. Corbine, IOP, almost forgotten. In Germany, there is the perception Corbine is too heavyweight. So what does heavyweight? No one knows, but the funny story is I was in some embedded projects and they used Corbine because it is lightweight. So on enterprise server, it's too heavyweight, but for embedded space, it's perfect. So I think we need on the server the embedded processor, and then it will be lightweight. But what you can do with Corba, what you can easily do, this is a hack, but it works very, very well. You can expose EGB2 or EGB3 EGBs with a remote interface as Corba components. And we were able to talk, this was Glassfish and JBoss, with EGBs directly from C++ without any libraries. Just the easiest possible integration from embedded space to EGB. This was the reason why I wrote Corba IOP. In general case, I just don't care. You can use RMI T3 from BA, or I don't know, from RMI from Oracle, and data source and Java main. Okay, no one hacks on the conference. You are developers or managers? Okay, so I will try it. The mic still works. It's amazing technology here. So one project, JDD. I will depend on Glassfish. It's the reference implementation, totally free. It's something like JBoss, works like JBoss, with the difference the administration console is somehow usable. So it is you know JBoss? It is something like, looks like, I don't know, Web 3.0 almost. So you had 500 links, yeah? So new session bean. I used the wizard first time. I don't know, hello service is a perfect. So, and now we are in Poland. So it's pl.proidea is the company, right? JDD, a remote interface. So, and you are, I think, already scared what happens now, and what happened actually is just this. So I have one stateless mark and hello service remote, and this is a remote. So this is my service. Can you read it? Perfect, right? Yeah. Pardon? So this is Java. Okay.
Obviously, public interfaces not necessary.
Yeah, I know, but I think there's a beginners here, you know. No, it's my mistake. I started with JDK 1.0, and I used, I don't know, everything was just this time, plus formatting from this time is just, I don't know. But you're right, it's superfluous. So, and then, of course, we have something like, I know, huge business logic, return echo plus message. And that is, so we have one interface, one implementation, and no XML. XML is dead. There are some crazy people in EGB3 who like XML, and we can write XML. But this was the same phenomenon as at the beginning of EGB1. I gave some trainings for Sun in Germany, and there were people who would say, I'm perfect with VI and Emacs. I can write the whole deployment descriptor with index. But it did work the first day. And after day, they say, OK, it's not possible. Okay. You know Xdocklet? Xdocklet? There was the answer for the flow of EGP2. And EGP3 is something like, EGP3 is something like EGP2 with conventions from Xdocklet. So it's always a bad sign in case you have to generate the infrastructure. Then it's redundant. It's not dry. Don't repeat yourself. So, and now a little bit of SOAP. So, service. There is JSR 181, and what I can do, I can deploy it, undeploy and deploy. My next problem is I have Vista. You know Vista? So I need about 1 gigabyte, 1 gigabyte for splash screen. So there is my JDD, it's already deployed, and my, and I try to test my web service. Oh, that. Yeah, but this is life hacking. So I guess I did during the test Krakow. I have in one project with the name. This is the problem. I did it several in the JDD talk. And what I actually would like to show you that is nothing else than an EGP jar. So you have one session bean with the name, I don't know, user service. And pl.jdd remote finish. I will try just to deploy it. Perfect. Service. Krakow. With war and EGP jar. And what is it actually? It's nothing else than a file with an interface and implementation. No XML there, absolutely not, it's just the metadata. So if I provide a web service, I'm just curious, it have to work, I do it all the time. With a one method, without the interface, hello. So, test web service. And look up the this one, this guy, this is my address. The SDL. So I have the visual, and I have the tester. So I have my method hello with hello, and I am able to invoke. This is the request, and this is the response. So, what you can do now, you can easily inject this EGP, this one, to a server. So you can easily come here, expose this method to a remote interface, and say, I would like to have something like a servlet, I don't know, controller, pl.jdd. And I can say I would like to inject one EGP, this one. So this is the injection. And how the injection works is actually only an interface. So there's an interface, not the implementation. And you can switch between the implementation either that way, here, or in XML. It's your choice. And convention over configuration does mean, in case there's only one implementation of the interface, you do not have to specify it. And this is the huge difference to EGP2. In EGP2, you have to specify everything. So it is much leaner and much easier. If we will have some time, I will hack you the whole application for you. So questions so far. So what happens behind the scene, a jar was built, copied to auto-deploy on application server, and notice the annotations fire up the application and it works. Yeah? The interesting story, no XML, it's just POJOS. So, and what happens in case you start with EGP3 and they are not good enough for you? In this particular case, you can switch to everything you want, to Juice, Spring, because everyone relies on interfaces and classes, so there is no risk. That's actually an interesting story. Okay. No questions? So what you saw is AGB are just annotated classes. You can argue, okay, there is not very clean, not very pure, but who cares? You know, it is very efficient. This is very important. And the productivity gain is huge. So what I see in trainings, for instance, we're able to build in 1 to 2 days the same use cases as with J2E with X.NET and prepared environment. So it is really great, big difference between those. Okay, EGB3 are nothing else than annotated POJOs. EGB3.1 use metadata derived from conventional reflection. So I just show you that. So the whole container of Glassfish V3 takes about 300 kilobytes. So it is somehow lightweight. So you can even execute it on Sasquatch cellular phones. It's a little bit crazy, but yeah, why not? So performance difference between the both of them is, for instance, I tested this with EGB3 and then with POJO, and you know the difference was between 2,500 requests per second to 2,300. So it was actually nothing, because 2,500 transactions on my notebook with Vista is perfect, you know, in either case. So so there was 3.3 difference. And even better, the whole API, EGB API, is all you need to develop this stuff, about 40 kilobytes. So you need about 10 annotations, nothing else. All you need to test, nothing. You can use framework you like. I don't know, Mockito, you heard about this, JUnit, everything you want to. So how to integrate RESTful services? So I will try this one. This comes not from me, but it was already there. So hopefully it would work. Test web service. Yeah. This is just a built-in application that comes with NetBeans. And what I would like to show you is the following. This is just a tester. So I click here on my customers and I say test. So what I see a list of customers. Interesting story is the URL. HTTP localhost 8080 custom.me resources /customers. And the URL is interesting here in the sample, right? RESTful URL. What's interesting as well is start on max, 0 to 10. Something like this. What is it? It is actually a nice thing. It comes in Java 6. You can use it right now. The project is called Jersey. Jersey is a Java.NET project. And I'll show you the source code. There is a customers resource class. And what you see here is something like get. There is one annotation with the name get. And it comes from javax.wsrs get. So the RS is RESTful. And this spec is great, you can read it. So what is JSR.311? Go to jcp.org, 311, you can download the spec, about 30 pages, well written. So forget books, read this spec. And what you see here, method get with two params, start and max. And it seems like the RESTful wrapper, the JSR.311, is able, you know, to address your classes. It reacts to get request. And there is another method which reacts to post request. So you can, and the whole class listens to customers, you know? And look at the URL, resources/customers. This customers is just a convention. It is in WebXML, so I have no time to show you. But in WebXML, there is one path, customers. Right? You got it? So if I click on, let's see, resources/customers/1, I would like to have the customer with the ID 1. So it is. So it's just well-written URLs mapped to objects, and you get back JSON or XML, doesn't matter. So if I click on this URL, I get one customer in XML. And the interesting story here is there's another method here, pass customer ID, and this is something like template. So it extracts the string, converts it to integer ID, and gives back customer's resource. What is customer's resource? So, the customer's resource is customer, this one. sorry, customer converter, I meant, this is something, you know, JAXP, Java Architecture for XML Binding, is just a wrapper which is able to serialize everything to XML. It wraps the JPA entity and is able to serialize it to XML or to JSON in that case. So this was RESTful services, I guess in 5 minutes. You got it? So nice URLs, get, post, convention. You can address methods, address resources. And I was able to kill with this technology, just with this hack, yeah, some SOAP projects, yeah, which is a good thing. So J2E patterns. So there were many J2E patterns, and many architects were proud of it because there were, I don't know, 20 patterns or so, and yeah, they were just solution for a problem from the spec, not a common problem actually. And if you go, yeah, the first idea was that if you look at the abstract of the original J2E core pattern, you see the intention was to replace the database with object-oriented database, flat files, LDAP, and so forth. But I never was in such a project. So in Germany, at least, we stick with one database. So it is rarely will be replaced from Oracle to DB2 or from DB2 to Informix or something like this. And the idea is here to make the relational principle superfluous. So they want to replace relational database with object-oriented database. It actually never happened. So from my point of view, patterns have something with probability, you know? If you should not abstract from everything because you will went crazy, so it's not possible. So, and in my opinion, for instance, it is enough to be dependent from JPA, Java Persistence API, because it abstracts already from Hibernate, Toplink, JPOX, and everything else. So you are then dependent on object relational mapper, yeah? Proof of concept, Ruby on Rails. So they do not have 500 layers, and it works somehow, okay? So Groovy, the same story. You know, not Groovy, Grails, sorry. Heard about Grails. They just expose domain objects to the UI. So it was highest possible decoupling. Yeah, the architects love it, the developers hate it. So you had interfaces, value objects, factories, and stuff like this. Yeah, if every abstraction causes additional effort, and you will eventually end up with something like x.mda code generators or something crazy like this. So JP 1.0 introduced the entity manager, and the entity manager is nothing else than a generic DAO. If you have an entity manager, you have methods like persist, merge, find, create, query. It was actually domain store pattern. We'll see it later from J2E. So if you really like to have a DAO, I can show you how to build it with EGB3. It's no problem. You can do it. You have one interface with a little bit generic stuff, create, find, update, and list, for instance, find by named query. And with this single DAO deployed once, yeah, you can do whatever you want. You can crowd every possible entity from the world. So if you really like it, do it. The problem is this DAO implementation is almost empty. It's not able to delegate to the entity manager. So I don't know whether it is worth to do it. So, and how to use it? So you can, there's just a unit test. You can, just invoke your beans. And what I just did, find by name query, is a little bit complicated because you have to know the query. And then I just have a kind of fluent interface. It's a new buzzword. It does mean nothing than readable code. Yeah. So, and with name, what this is just parameters which I pass, and parameters converts the parameters to an hash map. So that is. I used it in some projects and it worked. So, but in other projects, we just inherit from a DAO, which was previously a crazy idea, right? But why not? You can inject to abstract classes. The entity manager is backed up by the spec, so it's no problem. So you can inherit from the query capability. The problem with that, I have to argue, I have to discuss with the architects about this topic, because they say, okay, your EGB is not a DAO. It's like, yes, you're right, but this is a pragmatic approach. So testing is really, really easy. What you can do, you can say, okay, I have one persistence XML in the mainstream and another persistence XML for testing. You need to do that because this persistence XML relies on JTA, Java Transaction API, and the other one has to use JDBC directly. This is the difference between both. Okay, so we need two persistence XMLs or one with two persistent units. which is not very good, because then you will lose conventions. You have to specify it everywhere. I use production persistence unit and not test. So DTOs, data transfer objects. The first flaw is the name, data transfer objects. They weren't objects, they were structures. So something like data transfer structure should be, because there was no behavior, just getters and setters, right? And some attributes. And the idea was actually to minimize the remote communication, because there was a problem with remote entity beans. And this was the initial introduction of DTOs. And what I see now, people try, you know, to convert the Hibernate and JPA objects, the entities, to DTOs. And I say, fine, but if they are identical, there should be something wrong. Because why to replicate the same code? And developers start to make a difference, you know, changing the naming convention, something like this, and this is your beginning of the end. And I'm often asked, could you provide a generator for us to generate those DTO objects from entities? Is even worse. If you are able to generate and DTOs from entities, you do not have decoupling, because every chance you have to fire up the generator, you know? And then bin utils from Apache, or you can use reflection to copy properties, binutil.copy properties. It's even worse, because it's not runtime safe, you know? There are some tricks, but why not just to say, I expose my well-written domain object to the UI? What's wrong with that? And fortunately, there is something like Theme, which does it, and Grace, and Ruby on Rails. It works in some cases. So it is not very suited for SOA, which is a buzzword, service-oriented architecture. That basically means nothing for a developer, but everything for a manager, for instance. Yeah. So DTO was suited for data transfer between layers. So it is not needed, except you have to access, for instance, stored procedures, legacy host, something Kix or IMS databases, MQ series. You need DTOs. But there's a very natural use of DTOs. I think it's no more needed just to use DTOs to decouple of layers, to decouple from yourself. Yeah? You can decouple from, I don't know, from your clients or from a service, but not inside your application. So domain store, this is the origin UML diagram from, I think, J2E13 or so. There's a huge pattern called domain store to store object-oriented entities. I just copied it from the web. And if you look at this, it's nothing else than the implementation of Entity Manager. It is exactly the same. Some others did naming changes, but create query, you see it, is delete all, there is no delete all, just remove. But what you have here is the persist map, and what is and state manager, which is very important thing of an entity manager. The huge benefit of entity manager is a transactional cache. So it caches the object inside the transaction. But domain store died as well, because we have entity manager. You can call the entity manager domain store if you like, but why to do this, you know? This is the origin UML diagram. So is that almost identical to JPA's entity manager. Entity manager is already a best practice, and I recommend you not to start with Hibernate, but start with JPA. We had in one project's problem with Hibernate in deep inheritance hierarchies and relations. We were able to switch to toplink without changing the code. So it was a huge benefit. So it's, in case possible, just use JPA. This is, by the way, also the recommendation from Gavin King, and this is the guy behind Hibernate, so it should be right? So do JSF really suck? Okay, in Germany, there is many people love JSF, some not. And there is another framework called Wicked. I have to say, so what you can do with JSF with a tool is, new Visual Web JSF page, for instance. You can draw the pages, and this is actually the remedy. From my perspective, JSF only works with tooling. And there are NetBeans is free, and Oracle J Developer is free, and Eclipse JBoss Tools is called, I think, or the JBoss Studio or something like this. Without Visual Designer, you can throw away JSF, so it's a lot of work. And you have XML again, you know, in Faces Config. What you can do here, so you can drag and drop some stuff, and it is well it works well. It synchronizes the code with your backing bean. You can provide your visual navigation. So there's the faces config. I can say, okay, this one navigates to this guy, and it enhances the config. But you have still lot of XML. If it works with tools, it's great. We built a system for call center where, I don't know, 10 pages with drag and drop, we were already done. I don't know, 2-3 days. If it became too complicated with AJAX, then we have the problem to choose the right component model. This is the huge problem. There is a, forget what it's, Ice Faces, this one which is AJAX enabled. You can use that, but it's very hard to write new components for JSF. This is the main problem. And remember, what you could do with JSF and provide your new model view presenter or passive view patterns, what you could do, you can abstract from a backing bean using a view, and this view is nothing else than an interface which exposes getters and setters. So the basic idea of JSF has data binding, so what you can do with JSF is following. You have components, text fields, combo boxes, tables, binded to a backing bean. And the problem is, JDeveloper, Eclipse, or NetBeans generates code. And if someone generates code for you, the code is worthless, because if the tool changes, you have to rewrite or somehow re-import the code. So it's a mission impossible, actually. So what we did, we abstracted the view to an interface, and we work only with that interface from a controller. This was the trick. So the controller got the interface and the business interface on EGB, so we're able to test the whole JSF application without deploying it even. So just the controller, the presentation logic. And this is nothing else the old-fashioned model view controller pattern, renamed by Martin Fowler to model view presenter, killed 2 years ago, and there are two additional patterns, supervising controller and passive view. So model view presenter is retired in Java world. On .NET conferences, everyone uses this term, although it is no more there, actually. Yeah. So is layering an anti-pattern? Yeah, it could be. For instance, you have to answer such questions. So if you have DTOs, they're really great for you. Do they work out? Do they decouple something? There are something like leaky abstractions, you know. If your customer asks you to provide just additional widget in the UI, yeah, how many layers you have to change? So it was only one, that was great. They are decoupling. All layers, is something wrong with layering. This is my trick. If I come to a project and ask the architect, just name the essential responsibility of every layer. They say, okay, we have DAOs because it's best practice. So, okay, this is not the main responsibility. So why we need DAO pattern or, I don't know, abstraction or service, composite service, ask the question why. This is very, very important from my point of view. And how many layers were actually leaky in the past? And I think you can build amazingly complex applications with two layers. So well-encapsulated data access layer or domain objects, even real objects, and just cross-cutting services, that is. Convention over configuration. How much time I have? You know it? No time? OK. Then let's go. So convention over configuration. I'll show you how it works. The problem is we have one bean stateless, and it injects an interface service. It works well. So there is only one implementation. It will be injected for you. The problem is if you get two implementations, you get an error. The server complains, OK, what to do? I don't know. You have two possibilities to change it. You can say, provide a bean name in annotation, or you can do it in XML. It's just your choice. Or you can provide the name in the annotations and override it in XML. I do it for tests. For instance, for testing, I have XML files which override the production settings. And for production, I delete my XML files. So this is a trick. So you can combine XML with annotations, but be careful with XML. No one wants it anymore. So I don't like it either. So it's just the problem is not dry. The truth is spread to XML and the Java classes. This is the problem. So you have one principle spread to XML and Java. So do we need factories? This is already answered in previous slides. In EGB3 container, everything is injectable. So actually, factories are gone. And the most common questions, when we use POJO and when we use EGB3, and my answer is just use EGB3, it's easier. With POJO, you have a little bit infrastructure. And what you can also do, you can, you know, interceptors is something like AOP, I just skipped this. You can provide an interceptor and the interceptor direct access to the bean instance. So you can very easily integrate with Google Juice. You know Google Juice, a very great framework, Juice, like with G, not J, so Google Juice. And SIEM does it exactly the same to enhancing the dependency injection. So I am done. Questions. So I just killed view patterns. It will come more, but we have only 45 minutes, so there is no more time to kill. I've read article on Java World in English. It will come up, I don't know, next week during the EGB basic. I'm planning to write some more stuff. Questions? Everyone hates DAOs now? No questions. Complicated model. You can do everything you want with JPAs. It's really, really powerful. You can have joints and I don't know joint columns, everything you want. There is actually not the limit in relations. The limit is probably queries. In one project, we had to use native queries. But relation between entities, this is not a problem. And if the power is not enough, if your database looks like crap, what you can do, you can provide views. This is one trick. And map your JPA entities to the views. That's one recommendation as well. Great question. Other questions?
What is that? Are you sure this is possible to eliminate the client object in case if you have rich model, already written model of the entities?
A rich model, you mean you have methods, right?
You know, you don't want to expose all of the methods to the client.
You can provide interfaces. Okay, this is the solution. The real problem with that, no one asked the question, is lazy loading. If your developers do not get lazy loading, you have to build DTOs to force them to eager load, but you know, there's a workaround. Or be stateful. Extended entity manager. There is one mode in entity manager where all entities remain attached. This is a sophisticated topic, but then you can navigate, at least in JSF, Wicket and server-centric frameworks inside the relations.
Okay, what about if you have those interfaces? Is it a risk that you will have another hierarchy of interfaces next to the hierarchy of entities?
Yeah, something like this. Or just... Yeah, but interface is better than DTO with getters and setters. So there's a less redundant stuff. Yeah, and the next problem is with rich domain objects. It's not the problem not exposing methods. The project is computation of delta. If someone invokes the method on the client and your whole object graph is changed, you do not actually know what happened. This is really your real problem. You probably do not know this now, but this is the real challenge, actually. Computing the delta. So, yeah.
What is the main effort in terms of switching from 5.0 to 6.0?
From Java 5 to Java 6 as no effort. Exactly the same. Yeah. And the next story is how to upgrade from EGB2 to EGB3. I got a great contract, 2 weeks, to provide consulting work. And actually, I just deployed EGB2 to EGB3, and then you can invoke from EGB3, EGB2 components in one jar. We were done in 2 hours, and I didn't lose the contract because of budget. So I did some training, coaching, and drawing, you know. But it is very well. What you can do, you can deploy EGB2 beans and integrate them very well with EGB3. Actually, you can deploy EGB3 with remote interfaces, home interface, and everything you want. This is the truth. This is the trick.
And are you able to run 5.0 instance on the
cloud project in JDK 6? Yeah. JDK 6 is not a problem. JDK 5 is not. JDK 1.4 is a problem because there are no annotations. Great. Perfect. Questions get better and better and better. Other questions?
There is a new concept for serverless in JDK 6.
Yeah. Deployment script. Yeah, and this is Servlet 3.0, and support for Comet. Comet is a crazy stuff where it blocks connection, and that is something like pushing with Ajax. We built in a fine upload, and something like this will be in servlets and annotations here. WebXML is gone. I don't care, because this WebXML was not a real pain. It was not a huge thing, you know. There was a big difference. So it is a small improvement, but it's great. Now I generate it by Eclipse or NetBeans, then I will use VI, or no, VI not, but just. Yeah. There's no problem. It's more fluent, right? So you don't like it? You have to join the expert group and change its spec. I did it with EGP3, so it works somehow. Other questions? Yeah?
I have a question about embedding EJP in the world file.
Yeah.
Does it mean that it is just a EJP, or is it just a POJO?
It is a POJO which is annotated with stateless, exactly the same, but at runtime it is a POJO which is wrapped with transaction interceptors and stuff like this. Like Spring, it's the same story, right?
Okay, so it is just like starting war, and from this war a new EJP container is started.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you do not have EJP jar, but you can have. You can even provide EJP jar inside war.
Okay.
It works easily.
If I just change my mind and I would like to deliver this EJP as a standalone jar, is it just a matter of configuration?
Yeah.
You
have to change your aunt to, I don't know, to put the EJP classes to EJP jar.
Okay, but not all the configuration?
No.
Okay.
It is really great. So I spent my last 2 years is almost exclusively Java 5. And no one really complained. I asked the developers what we can change. Everyone was fine.
And I think that all this very limited AOP in EJP, because it's very, very pure. And for example, you just compare the screen.
His opinion is very, very compatible with Rod Johnson's opinion.
Right.
And his Rod Johnson's opinion is interceptor suck. And suck is źle of Polish, or not good of English. And my opinion is they are not as powerful as Aspect J. But they are absolutely sufficient for all my projects. I never saw limitation. We are able to compute preconditions, service level argument, inject stuff, absolutely perfect. But what we were not able to do, something like decorate certain methods with certain naming schemes, but then your architecture sucks properly. Because then something is, you know, intercepted and something not.
No, with things like providing observers,
yeah, you can do it.
But not for each of the properties.
Okay. But you can annotate methods, you can work around, but you are right. This would be the limitation.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you are aware of, three weeks ago, Spring changed the license model.
Yeah, right.
So this is another very interesting stuff. You have read about this. Okay, thank you very much. Dziękuję bardzo.